All right, Zechariah, I will not, I promise you, I've been in verses 1-6, and I got four things that he said, but it's by way of introduction. Then we'll, next time I'm in it, it won't be next week, I mean, maybe if Chuck doesn't want to do the afternoon service, Brother Kemp, but then we go through the visions that he had, and that'll pick up some speed. So it's not all of Zechariah is like this, but I think it's important because in the scope of things, for most of you, you don't even know where Zechariah came in. He came in the same time. Again, you know this now. I hope you're learning this. He came the same time Haggai did. But Haggai in the sixth month gave his first message after being there, and they'd stopped the work of the temple. He gave the first message and motivated them to start up again. And then he gave his second message 3 months later and shifted in between is Zechariah. And you could see the hand of God because, and that's why it's not a long message today, so we should be out real quick. But I think this is what why God put Zechariah there to do this message in between the two. Because, well, you'll understand when we get it. So his first message in verses 1-6 was, he's dealing with people, the people who came down with the remnant. And why did the remnant leave Babylon to come down? To do what? Rebuild the temple. But some people came along for the ride. And he called it sin. He called it sin. You left Babylon for a reason, and that was come down, and now you're not building the temple. And he said, God judges sin. So that's the first point he made. God judges sin. And again, I think it's true today. I think there's some people who are born again. They're Christians, but they're not going to church. They're not reading their Bible. They're not doing anything. To them, it is what? It's sin. Now, they wouldn't look at it that way. They just say, well, you know, I'm just not as spiritual as you, or I'm not this or that. But it's sin because they're neglecting. They've been saved. They were bought with a price. They're a servant of God now. And they're not going to church. They're not living for the Lord. They're doing their own thing. And every weekend, every other weekend, they've got to get away with a family. They got this going on. And you know what? We might as well just call it what it is. Now, we won't do that today in our churches today, but it is what? It's sin when you live like that. And that's what he's saying. Those of you who came down, you came for one purpose. You left Babylon for a purpose with this group, and it was to rebuild the temple. And you got down here, and now you're making your way. You're doing this. You're doing that. You're doing nothing to build the temple. It's sin because that's what you came for. And then he said, secondly, in verses 1-6, if you read this carefully, you would find a second thing is the idea that past judgments are a warning for us to turn from sin. You know, and he said, the things that happened in the past, they were the warnings. I mean, let's learn. Why learn on your own? Why don't you learn from somebody else? God judged them, and some pretty poor things happened. So, you know what? I don't want to go down that direction. And they had Assyria. Coming in and taking over Israel. Israel totally, I mean, 9 out of 10 of the Israelites were massacred, destroyed. And the minor prophets talked about that's what's going to happen. That's why Jonah wanted to let Nineveh be destroyed, because he knew it was probably going to be Nineveh and the Assyrians that came down and took over his beloved Israel. And so, God, if you destroy them now, then they're not going to do that. But Jonah knew. And so we learn from the sin in the past. We learn from things that happened in the past. And we can learn from how God's judged. And maybe there's some churches out there today that don't even hardly exist, or they become nothing. Why? Because they got away from God's principles and the principles of God's word. So the second thing he says, but you can learn from the past judgments. Look at what happened. Matter of fact, guess what? You left Babylon. Why were you in Babylon? Why was Israel in Babylon? Why was, well, the southern kingdom in Babylon? Judgment. It was sin. They neglected God. And God finally got fed up with it and brought down the day of the Lord. One of the, Amos said that's the day of the Lord in reference to Babylon coming in. But it's also the day of the Lord's coming at the second coming, what we talked about this morning. And so there's past judgments are a warning to us that God judges sin. But then he took a positive note, and he said, but obedience brings blessing. And when you obey God, it brings blessing. And look, and you know, again, we compared it to Haggai when he said, you know, you went to the wine vat and got, you know, you were going to get 50 whatever, and you only got 20. You went to get this, you were getting 10 bushels, and or 20 bushels, you only got 10. The storehouse wasn't full. You still had enough to survive, but you didn't have any extra. God wasn't blessing. And he wasn't blessing because you weren't building the temple. For 15 years, you haven't done it. And so you can see that obedience brings blessing. And he said, mark it down on your calendar. The day you started to rebuild the temple, got serious about rebuilding the temple, you mark it down and let's see how God blesses. And you know, I told you that. I wrote that down on that day as a 19-year-old boy, or 19 or 20-year-old boy up in the mountains of Denver, Colorado. I said, I give my life to you. And I can tell you the difference. I can see where I lacked before then, and I can see the blessing of God after that. Because I committed myself to him, and I committed to reading his word. And thank God for college, that through a preacher that was there, got me reading the word of God, reading the Bible through every year, and the study and the different things, and then some of the influences at college taught me to be a soul winner, and there's so much I can tell you. But when you do God's, there's always blessing, and God's blessed in my family, blessed in my children, blessed in my grandchildren. By the way, do you know I got 3 very, very smart grandchildren? I don't know if I've told you that before. But Fiona's the 18th kid in her class, kid 18, that's what we call her now. She's the last, but I'll guarantee she's going to be the smartest one there. You know, and you guys would say that about your grandchildren too. So God blesses. But then there's a last point, and this is a short one. The word of, like God himself, the word of God is inescapable. Inescapable. That's the key. That's the key. Again, the prophecies say this. If you read it closely, you know, where are your, in verse 5, where are your fathers? Where, and the prophets? Do they live forever? No. The prophets come, the prophets go. Now, they spoke God's word, but they come and they go. Your fathers, they come and they go. But guess what stays forever? God's word. You know, pastors come and pastors go. But God's words go on. People you love, grandpas and grandmas that love the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe a parent that taught you godly principles, they come and they go, but the word of God goes forever. And he's showing the importance of here of the word of God. And that's the theme. And I'll show you why it's so important. The fathers come and they go, they receive judgment. But the word of God goes on forever. Nobody can escape God's word, for God's word is eternal. The prophets passed away, and then but the word was spoken by them, lived on, and was fulfilled in the people's experience. And Jesus said it like this: until heaven and earth pass away or disappear, not the smallest matter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So what he's saying, he said, you know what? They didn't have the Bible written like we have it. They had parts of it, I'm sure, but not like we have. But here it is. Everything in this book is going to happen just like it said it would, all the way to the book of Revelation 22. Everything. He said, mark your words. Everything that God's word says. So the prophets, they spoke some good things, but they come and they go. They die. If God brings judgment down upon Israel, guess what? You know, when God brought judgment down upon on the southern kingdom, guess who it affected? Isaiah and Jeremiah. Jeremiah was one of the most godly major prophets that was there, but affected him. Where did he end up in? Captivity. It affects them. So the prophets come, the prophets go. The pastors come, the pastors go. The preachers come, the preachers go. But the bottom line is, don't sink your teeth into them. Sink your teeth into this. Because this is going to last forever. And as much as Satan wants to destroy this book and has tried to destroy this book, he'll never destroy this book because his word is with us forever. It's there. I think the Antichrist is going to try to destroy the Bible. I think we're going to see book burning like you saw during Hitler's day, during the Antichrist day. I think you're going to see a lot of the same stuff that Hitler would have pulled off. And, you know, no doubt if Jesus would have come in Hitler's day, guess who probably could have been the Antichrist? Hitler. It's going to be bad. But he says God's word. But here's the point, and this is the point I want to give you, and then I'm done. Haggai's emphasis was rebuilding the temple. And if you remember his first sermon on the sixth month, 24th day, the whole emphasis was rebuilding the temple because that was important. His whole emphasis in the ninth month on the 24th day, 3 months later, was to continue to build the temple. The emphasis was build the temple, build the temple, build the temple. And there's nothing wrong with that. But then Zechariah comes right in the middle here. And his message isn't, it's rebuild the temple. Don't get me wrong. But you know what his main message is? Return unto me. He said, building the temple's important. I understand that. But more important than building the temple is building your life for Christ. Return unto me. And boy, this principle began to sink into my heart and mind. You know, God's more interested in you building your life than you building Faith Baptist Church. That's what Zechariah's saying. Oh, building Faith Baptist Church, building the temple, very, very important because that's how Israel's going to get on track. That's how Israel's going to get back to the worship, doing the things they need to do. That's wonderful. Build the church. Build the temple. That was Haggai's message, and it worked because they started. And 3 years later, they finished the temple. Now, it wasn't grander like Solomon's was, but the temple was in place, the sacrifices. They could feast, they could do the things. And it was important, but Haggai said, don't miss it. Don't just go to build the temple. Return to me. That's your first priority. You know what? And I think a lot of people in Christianity today will want to build the church. Will want to do a project at the church. And to make the church grow. And Haggai was right. They needed the temple. But Zechariah comes right in the middle and says, yeah, you need. But more than you need to build the temple, you need to build your relationship with me, with God. You need to return unto me. Because you can build the temple and your heart's not right with God. And he said, what do we have when we're all done? We'll have a temple. But God's more interested in your heart. God's more interested in your walk with him. You know, I think the two go together, but if you gave me a choice and you had to make a choice, I'd rather you walk with God and spend time with God than show up for church on Sunday. Now, I love you being here, and I think you need to be here because God said don't forsake the assembling together. I think you need it for fellowship. I think you need it for the camaraderie. I think you need it from the teaching from God's word and God's perspective because I don't think you would have studied these Old Testament prophets without us going through it. I don't think some of you would understand the complete aspect of prophecy unless you hear it preached from the pulpit. So I'm hoping you're learning some things from the pulpit. But I'd rather have you develop a walk with God than to build the church. Because if you walk with God, what's going to happen in the ultimate? You're going to build the church. But I think we get it backwards. Let's build the church. No. Let's build the temple. Okay. That's true. But before that, more important than building the temple, Build your walk with God. Repent. I'm telling you, God's looking for repentance. There's so many Christians today that are good people, that go to church. And I would think, according to Zechariah's message, they're living in sin. But they're going to church. They're putting in their hour. But more than that, God said, I'd rather see you repent and return unto me. Go back to that day where you got saved. I remember that night. It was 4:30 in the morning. A joy came over my heart. Maybe it was because I was relieved because I wasn't going to miss the rapture. But there was a joy in my heart. And then through my teen years, I lost that joy. Oh, I still went to church. I was on the Bible quiz team. I still tried to win all the awards and all the programs they had. But I was an ornery cuss. I really was. Again, I've told you this before, but I remember, like it was yesterday, two of the leaders met with me, two of our youth leaders, and they said, you know what? Poor Pensacola when you go there. That's what they said to me. We're sorry Pensacola's going to get you. That's how bad it had gotten. But boy, I had to return. Not to church. I had to return to God. I had to restore that fellowship. And I had to develop that walk with God. That's what Brother Holmstrom said. He said, boys, before you ever go out from this and I fly you to your next city and you run a Bible school, that's very important. But he said, more important to me is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you walk with your God. I can see that ringing in his eyes. So every morning, 6:00, he made us get up. Spend 2 hours walking with God. I'll be honest with you. Maybe I got an hour and a half and half hour sleep and half hour, hour and a half. But it changed my life. See, when I went there, I went to prepare to go out and run a Bible school. My brother Holmstrom said, boys, return unto me. More important than you need to know how to run Bible time, you need to walk with your God. And you need to know your God. And he was right. Because once you got to know God, walk with God, everything else fell in place. I had some of the best rallies you could imagine. When I left Boulder, I didn't even know the material. But I knew my God for the first time. That's what he's saying. And that's my heartbeat for Faith Baptist Church. Oh, I want you to build the church together. And I want the church to be important to you. But more important than that, return unto me, he said. Develop that burden, that relationship with Jesus Christ. Where you begin your morning in praise and prayer. You take time in the afternoon and you're thoughts. I'm convinced Christians can maybe pray in the morning real quick. And sometimes really not even think about God till maybe the next morning. I understand that. But that's what Zechariah is saying. Well, building the temple is very important, folks. Getting the house of God in order is very important. But more than that, return unto God. That's where it all begins. That's where you'll see the blessing of God. That's where you'll see the power of God. Because it doesn't come in the church. And I love the church more than anything else. But it comes when individuals walk with their God. That's where you'll see revival. That's where you'll see impact. That's where the world is changed, when God's people walk with their God. That's what he's saying. More important than building, Isaiah, he said, Haggai's right. We need the temple. More important than that. Know your God. Return unto me. That's the message. In between Haggai's build messages, it's return unto me. And I think God brought Zechariah for exactly that purpose, to get people to walk with God. And everything else will fall into place. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this principle. I got a couple more pages of notes, but they get the gist of what Zechariah was trying to say. And I think Faith Baptist Church is the most wonderful place. I look forward to Sundays. Matter of fact, I work all week for Sundays. I love it. But this helped to put in perspective, more important than Sunday is my walk with you tomorrow. Because if I don't walk with you tomorrow, Sunday just doesn't accomplish what you want it to. Our people could build, our people could work at the church and invite. But if they don't walk with you, we lose that power, we lose that Holy Spirit's blessing. Return unto me. That's what Zechariah's message was, return unto God. Walk with him and know your God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Diane's here. And I appreciate her filling in for Julie today. But she's going to play through one verse of any song she chooses. Let that be your heart's desire. I appreciate all the work. Here's the workers. Here's the heartbeat of Faith Baptist Church right here on a holiday weekend at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. This is the heartbeat. But this heartbeat is only so good if we don't have a heartbeat for God. I appreciate your love for the church. I appreciate your faithfulness to the church.